Grab a hand, let's pray. I'm going to jump straight in. Holy Spirit, I just thank you for this morning. Oh, your presence is so thick. You are just awesome. You are awesome, Lord. May it be that this morning. May we be in awe and in reverence of you, Father. God, I thank you for the holy fear of the Lord to be in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to continue on a little bit from a couple of weeks ago, slightly different tangent, but I want to jump into Isaiah. We're going to start in Isaiah 61, but we're going to jump around a bit. I heard this quote, guy called Lou Engle. Who knows Lou Engle? When you hang around the dream king, you get into the dream stream. You wind up on the dream team and you do the Martin Luther King thing. I like that. Fire always falls on sacrifice, but it's our role to keep it burning. The fire always will fall on sacrifice, but it's our job to keep the fire burning. It's our job to steward the presence of God correctly. And I feel like we're in a moment as a church, Dean and I both do, we feel like we're in a moment right now where the question, I really feel like the Lord's asking us a question. Are we wanting to be a really good Holy Spirit church, or are we wanting to go after revival in its fullness? All right, that got you awake. And you know, I am going to teach a little bit this morning, but as well out of Isaiah 61. But I really want to stir your hearts this morning. I want to stir your hearts for that. There's more. And you know, when who knows who Roger Bannister was? Who knows who Roger Bannister was? Roger Bannister was the first person to break the 4-minute mile. And no one thought it was possible. No one thought the 4-minute mile could be broken. And then Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile, and I don't know the statistics, but within a very short amount of time, two more people broke it. The point is that sometimes we are more aware of the culture that we live in than the kingdom that we're a part of. And stewardship, you know, there's every nutrient in an apple seed or an orange, you know, whatever. There's every nutrient in that seed to produce an apple. Everything. It's not like it's not an apple. Yeah? That seed is an apple. It's like a human being inside of a womb. That is fully a human being. It's not when it comes out. Then it becomes a human being. No, it's a fully a human being in the womb, and when it comes out, it's still a human being. And we're learning as the Christian life isn't so much development. The Christian life is discovering who God has made us to be, who the Lord is, and discover through abiding who He's created us to be and who He is. And then the nutrients, because we've been grafted in. I've been studying grafting. I'm not a green thumb at all, right? But I've been studying grafting. It is fascinating. You can graft a completely different apple tree, a branch, into an apple tree, and it sucks the nutrients out of that apple tree and forms a completely different apple. That's amazing. But it gets cut, and you do these little cuts and slits, and it gets grafted in, and then over time, it actually just becomes a part of that tree. The nutrients are in the tree already, everything. And so often in the Christian life, we have a seed, we have something, we have a seed, we have a, you know, maybe a tiny little shrub, and we're like, oh, it's not revival, it's not a move of God, it's not the Spirit of God, because my perception of what a move of God is, or my perception of something, is supposed to look like this. And so we abort the seed before it's fully formed, and then we don't actually see the real fruit that's supposed to come, because we haven't learned to protect the seed and what we've been given. Is this making sense? All right. And so Isaiah 61, let's read from there. We'll just do verse 1 to verse 3. So the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Remember last time I preached, we said Jesus adds in, and to give recovery of sight to the blind in there as well. To proclaim the liberty of captives and the opening of the prison doors to those who are bound. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn in Zion, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they, this is our verse that we're going to bounce off, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That word, oak of righteousness, is the word the ram caught in the thicket that Abraham sacrificed, when Abraham sacrificed his son Isaac on the altar. If you look up the word oak of righteousness in a concordance in that passage, it, the direct derivative of that word comes from the word of the ram caught in the thicket when Abraham sacrificed. Remember the story? Yeah. So what's the point? The point is the Lord provides the sacrifice. It's not us that bring the sacrifice. He's the one that provided it. He's the one that sent his son. And then through Jesus, he reconciled the world to himself. It wasn't like Jesus was bringing the Father to God. No, he was bringing the world to the Father. So if you think with me, so this is fascinating. So here Abraham brings Isaac up and he puts him on the altar, and the Lord says, oh, awesome. I know your heart now. Your heart is you'll give everything to me. And by the way, just for reference sake, in those days, children's sacrifice was normal. Okay, that was a normal thing. So God, Abraham was like, all right, this God that I worship, this Yahweh, this is a normal thing for someone, a God to ask of me. And so he's like, all right, I've got my son, I've got my promise, and I'm going to give it to him. Some of us, we need to take the things that we are holding on to and say, Lord, you can have everything. You can have all of me. I'm not going to pull you into my life. Everything that I have is yours. Come on. Everything that I have is yours. I'm not just, you know, you can have this, you can have this, you can have my kids, you can have my marriage, you can have my devotion, you can have, you know. I know we were joking about going long in worship, but we can comfortably sit for an hour and a half and watch a footy game. This is the key. This is not Kayleen. Tennis. I don't know, whatever. Right? Oh, I love sport. I'm not. Sometimes people preach like this, they're like, oh, you're saying you don't like. No, I love those things. But we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the King of Glory. And church is just not boring. I just refuse. Church is just good. I think so. And so here the Lord says, I'm going to bring this ram, caught in a thicket, obviously representation of Jesus, that he's the one that's going to be sacrificed. He's the one that's going to be the provision. Whoa, I'm echoing again. Anyway. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 5:18. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. How did he do it? He did it through Christ. There's absolutely nothing that you and I could have brought to the table. You cannot get saved by giving more. You cannot be saved by doing good works, because no one then can boast. It's only through the boasting of Jesus. All right? So he's reconciled the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Well, that's just a good passage right there. That's just good news, right? So God was in Jesus reconciling the world to himself on the cross. Right, they were one. I'm not going to preach on this today, but they were one. So this is the good news. The oak of righteousness that you and I are, the planting of the Lord that you and I are, is the covenant was made between Jesus and God. The new covenant is between the Father and a man, but that man is the Son of God. So the covenant, this is so good. The covenant is between God and God. That's awesome. And then he's like, I'm going to plant you and graft you into me. Anyone that, where he says, I implore you on behalf of Christ, God, be reconciled to Christ. He's like, I'm imploring you, Corinthian church, to be reconciled to Christ, so that you'll be the planting of the Lord, an oak of righteousness. Are you catching this? So you're grafted into the very fabric of heaven. And I just really believe the Lord is saying, hey, are you guys in at any cost? And, you know, the one thing that in the upper room that I reckon they were still probably really confused about a lot of stuff, the 120 in the upper room. Safe to say, I reckon, safe bet. That they were like, what on earth is going on? And the one thing they had is they were in one accord. There was unity in that room. They might have had different opinions about things, but they were in one accord about Jesus. And I really believe the Lord is inviting this house, I'm preaching really to this house this morning, he's inviting this house to say, hey, will you as a church steward the presence of God, even if it's in seed form? Will you steward it and not abort it in a way that I want to do something here? How many know, Dean preached last week, God wants to move. God wants to move. He wants to pour out his glory. He wants to pour out his power. He wants to do that stuff. We don't have to beg him to do it. I believe we have to become good stewards of what he's deposited inside of us. Because when you get into the dream slipstream of the dream team, the individual has an encounter with the Lord that gets transformed, that then comes into a body of believers that then should be a place of a habitation of his presence of God. We talk a lot about outside of the four walls of the church, and we have to take it out, and if it stays in here, it dies. But there is a family time. There is a family time where we come together, we worship the King of Glory, we praise him, we give him honor, we hear the testimonies, we do all this stuff, we pray for people, we send people out, all of those things, but we get equipped and we get trained in the house of the Lord so that it can translate outside of these four walls into revival. Revival isn't long meetings. It might be that, but revival is when the presence of God gets upon ones or twos or threes or fours, but then a collective, a family starts to happen, and then it translates out into society so that society looks different because you're a planting of the Lord to rebuild an ancient ruin. Right? That's why you're planted. You're planted in the house of God to be uprooted and be an influence outside in society. So it starts with ones or twos, but it then becomes a company that then changes a city, that then changes a nation. And I just want to break the 4-minute mile. I want to break it. I'm going after something in this nation, in our state, in our region. Do you know the reason that things look bleak sometimes is, I believe, because the church has been sitting on their bums. The church is the light of the world. The only way that the church doesn't become the light of the world is not a big devil. It's you. It says you put your light under a basket. You put the light under a bushel. So fire falls on sacrifice, but it's the priests that keep it burning. I just want to share a few stories. When I came back from America, I was playing soccer in America. Okay, I was 21, came back, and I said to the Lord on the plane, I said, I'm giving up a lot, the Lord, but right, remember, it's not my sacrifice, but that's just how I felt. I was like, I'm giving up a lot. And I said, I grabbed this book, I remember grabbing, and I said, all right, if I'm coming back to do church, something in ministry, I need everything in this book to become to come alive. I want to see everything. If I don't, I'm secure in the Lord. It's not. If I don't see it, that's okay. I'm secure in Him. But this side of the cross, I'm going for it. There's something about hunger. There's something about hunger and stewardship. That we, when we steward the seed of God that He's entrusted us to, we might get there. But you know the story of the talents, Matthew 25. Here's 1, 2, 1, 5. You know, 1, 1, 2, 1, 5. Stewardship brings about increase. It's just the way it works in the kingdom. The one that didn't steward the one, He gave to the one that could steward correctly. Remember that? The one, it seems mean. God's like giving the talent, taking it away. But He's like, no, you don't understand. I gave you one. You couldn't steward one. I'm going to take that from you because it's going to kill you. It's out of His kindness that He removes it and gives to the one that can steward right. He loves everyone equally, but He favors us differently. Come on. So we steward things right. When we steward them right, I'm not changing the scripture, but I just want to play on this for a minute. I believe you can steward things in such a way that people, I mean, I want to make sure I get this right. I'm not demonizing people. All right, just hear my heart. I believe there are things that people have in the world that are stewarding without knowing for the demonic. What does Jesus say with Jesus? He says, get behind me, Satan. Your mind is set on the things of man, not on the things of God. Remember that? Matthew 16. So our mind set on the things of humanity without God is demonic in nature. So people are stewarding things that are demonic that they don't even know. Without a lack of knowledge, people perish, right? So people are stewarding things in the demonic that I believe the church, if stewarding his presence and the presence of God and the Lord in such a profound way that the Lord will snatch it from people who don't steward it well and give it to the church. All right. I just think that's right. Anyway. So I came back. And I remember I sitting in my lounge room, and I had this 5-hour encounter, which I'm not going to go into, but I had this 5-hour encounter with the Lord, and I was just sold out. I was all in, because I knew it was possible. I mean, just things that we started to see on the streets. Chris was there with it. We started this crazy stuff. We're in. The fear of man just got off me. Because that's what, the fear of man. Oh, we've got to make sure it's like this, and I can't do that because it might offend someone. Yeah, I reckon Paul and Jesus would get kicked out of most churches in now for the things that they said. And I remember I didn't know anything about church world. I didn't know who Hillsong were. I didn't know anything. I jokingly said, people say, what denomination are you? And I'm like, oh no, we don't worship demons. And they're like, oh no, what denomination, not demons, you know? And I'm like, no, we don't. And they're like, no, you're Pentecostal, you're Baptist. I'm like, I don't know. We just love Jesus, right? This is years ago. Still today, right? We just love Jesus, right? I'm not against things like that. I'm not against systems and structures, but the ism part I am against. There's just no Baptist, Anglican, Pentecorner in heaven. It's just not there. And so I had no idea who people were, and I remember I was listening to this message by this. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know anything about anything. And this guy, Bill Johnson, comes on my YouTube screen. And he was talking about the dove, and he uses this analogy of a handkerchief resting on the shoulder of someone, of the Lord. Remember that? The dove comes and it lands on Jesus and it remains. And he used this phrase. He says, how would you walk around your shopping center? How would you walk around your home? How would you walk into a cafe? How would you walk around your life and your world if you had a literal dove on your shoulder? You would walk with every step that you take, with every decision you make, with everything, with every breath you take, he'll be watching you. No. I didn't mean that. Right? You walk around with every step with the dove in mind. Oh. That ruined me. That moment, I was like, I saw something on Bill that I was like, I want that. I don't know the God that he's talking about like he does. And I want that. And I was like, I'll pay. I said to Shen, I was like, we'll get married on one condition. I did. I said, I will not marry you if you're not willing to go where the Lord wants us to go. And she said, no, I'll go anywhere that the Lord wants us to go. And I said, all right, we'll work the rest out as we go. But we're in. We're in. And that's just how we've lived our life. We'll pay any price for him. I'm sharing this because I'm like, I want us to catch something in the spirit this morning. I want us to catch a hunger in the spirit that would say, we might not be seeing what we know is possible, but we have a seed that we have to steward. We've been grafted into the promises and the presence of God. And hunger, there's something about hunger, there's something about stewardship that brings about increase. Those that hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. It's a promise in your Bible. It's a promise in the Word of God, right? And so we did. We're just like, I want to go. That's why we went to Bethel. That's why we went there. Because I'm like, and everyone's got their opinions, but whatever. There's just something that catches on you when you get into the environment and the atmosphere of the presence of God. I mean, my favorite story is of all time, I reckon, it's up there with one of my favorite stories, is a guy had his laptop stolen. And on it was his thesis. He doesn't believe in miracles, and God was restoring things. He buys a brand new laptop, and he opens it up, and on the desktop is his thesis. Come on, right? But what am I sharing? I'm sharing this because we've seen measures. I want us to take our minds off of like the past revivals. While they're awesome, I love them, I celebrate them. But the Lord wants to do something here in Melbourne, in Australia, in our region, in our time. He wants to do something, and he's asking, he's saying, will you be in, will you sacrifice your Isaacs? Will you be willing to plant, be an oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, steward my presence in such a way that I can actually pour, I can actually take what the enemy, and I can entrust it to my bride to steward it well. Because he won't just pour his glory out on everyone. He won't. Because he's a father. I'm not going to give the keys to my car to my kids. That would kill them. That phrase with the dove, it just wrecked me. It wrecked me. It still wrecks me. It just wrecked me because I was like, I need to see what is possible in this world. I need to see. I need to go to a place. You know, wise men travel to see Jesus. Sometimes. Right? So I was like, I need to see what is possible because I'm not seeing it in my own life. And I need to hang around people who are way ahead of the journey than me. I need to be in God. People say, oh, God can do it there. He can do it here. Absolutely. Absolutely. Right? But he there's just sometimes you've just got to get in the room, in the environment to say, all right, whatever's going on, I just need that. And you just get on me. Just get on me. Whatever it is, just come. Just you can do whatever you want with me. I don't care. You can throw me around like a rag doll. You can make me laugh, cry. I don't care what you do as long as I get you. I just want you. That's a bold prayer to pray. If you pray that prayer, I want you at any cost, you've just put a massive target on you for the Lord to go, boom. Right? It's a bold prayer. All right, go to John 15. Go to John 15. We're nearly done. I'll I am the true vine, and the Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken. Catch this. You're clean because of what he's done. You're clean because he's the sacrifice. You're clean because he's the ram caught in the thicket. You're clean because of what Jesus did on the cross. That's what he says. He says, you're clean because of what I've already spoken. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. The branch can do nothing. It can do nothing unless it abides in the presence of the Lord. I can't preach. I can't bring a correction. I can't do anything unless the presence of God touches your life. Then they're just good words like a TED talk. We're not here for that. We're here for transformation of people's lives. We're here for Jesus to rule and reign in this city. We're here to make sure that we're here, we would host the presence of God. And if he says, hey, I want you to do one song this morning and just one song and then pray for the sick and do this, then that's what we have to do. Yeah. If he says, go for 4 hours, we go for 4 hours. Yeah. It's not a time thing. It's being obedient to the word of God. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God, by the word of Christ. Faith doesn't come from listening to the word. Oh. If it did, just put your Bible on Audible and just listen to it overnight, and you and I will be like John G. Lake by the morning. That's not what it is. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the word, the rhema word of God. He's a person. He's not a concept, a theory. He's a human. He's a presence. And that thing of I want to abide in your presence in such a way that I recognize your voice. I recognize the dove on my shoulder. I recognize that's the Lord. There are people, when they pray sometimes, and this might be you, if the shoe fits, take it off. Right? We're so formulaic in our prayers, and we pray a certain way, and we're not sensitive. What's the Lord doing in the room? What's he doing? Sometimes we need to shut up. Sometimes, in Zechariah, God was like, you need to shut up, so I'm going to do it for you. With John the Baptist, yeah, you guys with it? It's like, he's like, oh, I'm going to call him Zechariah, or whatever he was going to call him. And he's like, shush, for 9 months, you need to be quiet. Mary, the difference with Mary and Zechariah, they both had a promise, but Mary said, be it unto me whatever is your will. That's the difference. They both had a seed of promise. One messed it up because he thought he had the formula. And the second one thought, I'll just, whatever you do, this is flipping weird, but whatever you say, I want in on that. And sometimes we have to be aware that the presence of God is doing something in the room. Sometimes we want to say something. I'm guilty. Who's ever been... I've done this, right? So I've done this before, plenty of times, because we learn by mistakes. But I've been praying for someone, I've been prophesying over someone, and then I start praying out of Liam. Right? And the Spirit of the Lord was on something, and then I start praying and prophesying out of my own, and I go back and I'm like, I needed to just shut up. I said what the Lord said, and then I just needed to be quiet, and I just kept going. Anyone else? No? Just me? Okay. Right? We need to be aware of that, because as a church, as a congregation, we want to host his presence well. When the worship team, when they're up worshiping, they've been put in that place to worship and lead us into the presence of God. They're not up there as a show. They're up there to lead us into the presence of God. So we trust them. We trust the leaders that they spend time in their bedroom, that they spend time. If they don't, they're off. Because it's not a show. Yes. It's not so I can play guitar once every 2 or 3 weeks. Yes. That doesn't mean they'll never be back on. But that's because it's stewarding it. It's significant. It means something. It matters to the Lord. Sometimes we overshare. You know Joseph's dream? Probably shouldn't have shared that. He probably just... The dream was the Lord. But he shared it. Sometimes you're supposed to keep things quiet. Other times you're supposed to shout it from the mountaintop. Sometimes it's supposed to be quiet. Sometimes it's a loud voice. Sometimes it's a small whisper. All right, we'll close with this. This is part one of part two. This is a Graham Cook quote. When people don't apply biting, when they don't apply abiding to believing, they hear truth in gladness but strive to apply it. Abiding occurs when believing becomes knowing and knowing becomes competence. So often we hear the word. Remember in Mark 4, it says you hear the word and it's snatched away for or different reasons. So we hear the word. How many of you have heard something in a message or a presence of God or you're reading the Bible and you hear something just boom, just takes you? That is a moment. In that moment, you have to say, I've been given a seed to steward well. What I do with that seed through hunger and through stewardship matters. We become most productive when our hunger for fulfilling his mandate is greater than our fear of failure. We become most productive when our hunger for fulfilling what he wants to do is greater than our fear of failure. When we first started this, why don't you stand? When we first planted this church, I was pretty I wrestled with the Lord for a long time. I was like, God, I don't want to plant a church. I just don't want to do it. I've just seen all the yuck. I've seen all the stuff that comes against people that do it. Everyone's got opinions, thoughts, different things. And the first year was very, very challenging. Very challenging. There was probably a moment in October of 2018 where I just said to Shen, I'm like, oh, I think I'm done. I think this is enough. 9 months in, I just I've had enough. It's what was being said against this and different things. Anyway, it's irrelevant. People make, if you're in the people game, it's people, we all make mistakes and we all get things wrong at times. But the hunger for what I knew the Lord had promised, I knew the Lord had spoken. I knew he'd spoken over this house. I knew he'd spoken to me about planting the church, and that was the one thing that I couldn't deny. I had all these reasons here. I had a list of things. I'd do this, it'd be easier to work, I'd probably make more money and all this all this stuff. But the promise, the seed, I knew was there. And I feel like, and so I held on to the promise. I held on to that seed. And I said, God, I know what you've spoken over this house. And I really believe this is not just for me. This is not for Liam. This is for this house. That the Lord, we're experiencing a measure of his glory. Like we are. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. His presence is here. I mean, I know people say, oh, Liam, it lives in me. It goes everywhere. Yes, it does. That's true. But it also walks in the room. You know, the train of his robe fills the temple. That means the person wearing the robe comes in and then the train of the robe comes behind. And our hunger for him has to be greater than our fear of failure. That's when we become the most productive. And when we abide, we don't just believe, we abide in that belief system. I believe the planting of the Lord, the seed that is an oak, that is fully a tree, is planted But then the stewardship is our responsibility to see that seed become an oak of righteousness. I really believe that's for every person in this room, for every person that calls this place home, but I also believe that is for this house. Is it possible in our nation to see such a revival that it would change the course of an entire nation? I don't want just a yes, amen. That's the prayer. That's what we're going for. And if that's too much, there are some other good churches. I want everyone. But we're going for it. We're saying, Lord, I'm all in at any cost. Because it costs us something. I'm not talking money. Well, it does cost money. I'm talking other things. Friends. Family. Reputations. Let his word apprehend you, church. Let him apprehend. Let him wreck you. That's what I want. I want him to wreck every single person in this room in such a way that the ambitions of man, the affirmation of man would just be obliterated. That we'd be in such a place with the Lord that we would take it out and it'd translate to the kingdom of God out there. Why don't you just lift your hands right now? I don't want keys. I don't want anyone up. Father, I just thank you. Just lift your voices. Just cry out. We'll just spend a couple of minutes right now. Just begin to cry out in your own. Use your own words. My words are, I want him at any cost. Use your own words. Use your own things. Let it get on you right now. Graft yourself in to the tree. Graft yourself in to the oak of righteousness, the one, the planting of the Lord, the ram caught in the thicket. Some of you, he's highlighting dreams and things that you've laid down. You've laid them down and it's time to pick them up again. Some of you used to hunger and thirst for revival. Some of you used to hunger and go after the Spirit of God and you've just become complacent. And it's time to get on the front line again. It's time to get into battle again. It's time to get hungry again. It's time to be a good steward of the seeds that he's given you. Just pray. Just keep praying. Just begin to pray. Pray in the spirit of your praying tongues right now. Pray in the spirit right now. I really feel that this morning there is an impartation in the room. There's an impartation. It's like you just get into a slipstream, and you begin to dream again. You begin to hunger again. Do you know when kids are sick, they don't hunger. It's normal to hunger. It's normal to hunger. Holy Spirit, right now, just pray with me. Pray. I'm going to pray. You pray with me. Pray your own prayer. Father, I thank you for this house. I thank you that this house will be marked as a house of your presence, that Jesus, you would rule and reign in this house, that this would be a house of miracles, that this would be a house where the supernatural would be natural. I thank you for this house. I thank you for our young ones. I thank you for our old ones. I thank you for our young adults. I thank you for our youth. I thank you that the fire of God would be poured out in this house. I thank you, Father, for your presence that would reside, the dove that would remain. Help us, Lord, to be good stewards of the move of God that you're doing here right now. Help us to not look to the left and the right, but help us to keep our eyes singular on you, Jesus. May we never leave that place of intimacy with you, Jesus. May we never leave the bedroom of encountering your presence, Lord. May we never deviate from that. May it never be about a man or a woman or two men or three men or four women or whatever. May it be about your presence, Jesus. May it be about you. May this be about you, Lord. May you wreck us at any cost, God. Wreck our lives. Wreck our lives, Lord. I love you, Lord.
As a as a team during the week, we on a Tuesday morning, we just worship and pray together, and I just 2-3 more minutes of your time, and then we'll close, and just flow on from what Liam shared. We really do believe that this is a defining moment, just in the church. Just this is a defining season. And so we just wanted some trusted prophetic voices to kind of just speak into that. And so I wanted just to, as we close, just to invite Hannah and Lisa up. And most of you will probably know Lisa and Hannah. Hannah's just come back from Bethel, and we were just together worshiping, and they had some just words that I thought that's the Lord. And so we just wanted to release those today, just because who knows that we need more and more of the prophetic in the church. And so we're a place that honors that. And so I'll get Hannah to share first, and then Elise, that would be awesome.
Thanks, Dean. God's here, it's good. The first word I got actually was a few weeks ago. I was worshiping the Lord in my room and praying about this church. And I felt like he said he was moving us into a glass house season. And I asked him what that meant. And he said, glass houses look the same on the inside as they do from the outside. And I just felt like God was just honoring the yes that so many people in this church have given. The yes to his presence, the yes to representing him so well that he can actually trust us, that when people come in the doors, the inside looks the same as the outside. And because of that, he was letting us be seen. And I felt like he was moving us onto a hill to be a city on a hill that was just glowing with his glory. Because when we were seen, when people came in, they weren't disappointed. They weren't let down. Their questions were answered because they got to meet with the King. So I just wanted to honor the yes of this church, of this house, the yes of laying ourselves down, laying our desires down to pick up his desires, to pick up his yes for this church, that we would just be a presence, a place of his presence, that people would come in and that what they wanted, they would get. When they come in with their questions, they would meet with him. So Jesus, we just thank you. We just release that over this church, God. That people would just come running because they can see the light that's pouring from the outside, from the inside out, God. They would just be so captivated by you. Whew. And I also wanted just to honor the family in this church. When I first came a couple of years ago, it was the family that kept me here. I barely knew anyone, but I walked in and I just felt family. And so if you're a newcomer, come to the lunch. That lunch was the best thing I did when I came, and I got to meet people and I felt so grafted in, as Liam was talking about. So you are welcome here. And thank you everyone who comes regularly for creating that family vibe. I think that's so important. And the other word I got, actually, when I was at Bethel, I was in a prayer moment. I'm keeping it together. I was in a prayer moment with the Lord and we were praying for the nation of Australia. And I went down and it was great. And when I was on the floor, Jesus showed me a picture of our nation and it was just golden. It was pure gold. And when you leave your country, you see your country differently. And I was so keen to pick up his heart and not my own for Australia. And I felt like he was saying, like, he wants us to be the golden land again. And 3 weeks ago when I was in, worship, I was over there and I just got wrecked again. And Jesus took me up into the throne room and he was showing me a newspaper article. And the newspaper article said, Australia becomes golden again. And I looked at the date and the date was the 18th of June, which is today. So I had to release this word today because I just feel like that is God's heart for our nation. And I feel like he's asking us, like, would we be a people that picks up his heart for our nation? Not our own heart, not our own apathy or complacency or discouragement, God, or our hope deferred, but we pick up his heart. And his heart is that we would be known as the gold rush again, that people would come and they would rush to Australia because of the gold that he is pouring out over our land. So I just want to encourage you to decree that in your home, in your home groups, in the places where you meet with the Lord, that we would become a place that is golden again. And if anyone else has words about gold and Australia, I'd love to know, because I feel like there's probably a few of you he's been speaking to about that. But yeah, amen.
I don't know how you're going to follow that, Lise, but I'm glad it's you, not me.
Thanks, Anne. Oh, please keep me upright. Okay. All right. So we were praying and I had this picture. Oh, I had this thought, which I didn't know if it was a real thing, but it's a real thing. There's a there's a airport in Lilydale. Did you know? I didn't know that. It just popped into my head. I Googled it. It's a thing. I felt like the Lord was like, hey, if you want it, I'll do it. And the world will want to fly in and they'll want to see what's happening. And so I saw the signs and wonders. I saw the healings. That we would be known as a house of worship. That we would equip the saints. And the world, heaven's already peeking in. Did you know? Like heaven, we have heaven's attention. But if we want it, the Lord's like, I'll do it. The world will want to come and fly into this funny little place because of our adoration of Jesus and because we just wanted him. and so I'm just going to release that, guys, if I can keep standing up for long enough. Oh, God. So we say yes. To that, like, let us be part of whatever you want to do. And signs and wonders. Lord, would you stretch our imaginations to believe for the things we can't imagine yet, but it's in your heart. So miracles we can't even comprehend and beautiful things that you've already planned that you want us to catch your heart. You want us to catch what's in your heart and in your mind, the things that you can see that you want to do. Lord, would you make us a house of dreamers, that we are just daydreamers with you?
Well, God, we just pray, God, that your dream would stir our hearts, that your dream for our own life, our own family, and your dream for this region would stir our hearts this week. We just pray for that, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Hey, we have anyone on the prayer team, come jump up. If you need prayer today for anything, healing, any bondage, anything you want prayer for, dreams, whatever, come up for prayer. And I'm going to ask Hannah, maybe you stay on the, I think you need to stay on the prayer team, Hannah. I think you need to be up here. And and just come and get prayer. We're a house of prayer, so that would be awesome. Hey, have a blessed afternoon, everyone. If you're a new friend here, yeah, we would love to connect with you just at lunch. We'll start that in 5 minutes. So we'd love to connect with you out there. Otherwise, make sure you bless someone today. Hey, have a great afternoon.